Lord, I just thank you so very much for this day. And I thank you that it's always for you and that we live moment by moment, our spirit with your spirit, you and us and we and you. And I just invite you into this place. I can feel you already here, and I thank you for that. And I just pray that your heart would be heard, that your words would be spoken, and that all the glory and honor goes to you. And I thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are going to talk about unity today. But before we begin, I just wanted to share a little something with you. So I don't know, who was here the last time I spoke. It was a while ago. I don't know, 6 months. Anyways, God had asked me to be honest that time, and so I was very honest with you, and I kind of told you about what was happening with my dad, and we hadn't talked in a long time. It had been a year and a half, and I was praying for restoration in that, and God is good. Let me just say that. 2 weeks ago, we sat down. We ended up talking for 2.5 hours, and not that he is perfect, not that I am perfect, but I believe that restoration can happen, and I have to give all the glory and honor to God because he's so good. And I honestly couldn't see the restoration happening on this earth. I could see it in heaven one day, but God is so good. Let me just say that. Amen. Yeah. And he is a really good father, and he is the perfect father. So even when we have fathers on earth, I don't know if any of you, either way, sometimes when it gets hard, we have a good father who never lets us down, whose love is perfect. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys. All right, so I asked God what he wanted me to speak on when Claire asked me to speak. And unity, the word unity, that was it. So I thought, okay, let's delve into this. Let's see what you want to say. If you open up your Bibles, if you have them, or your iPhones with your Bible gateway, if you go to John 17, we're going to start there. So first of all, I'm going to talk to you about the premise of this, the reason that unity came to me to speak on. So whenever I talk to God, we're pretty honest, and I like to know, what's your heart, Lord? What means the most to you? And right before he died, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Am I saying that right? And anyways, he was praying to his Heavenly Father, and he was praying a lot of things, but one of the very last things he prayed was this. This is John 17, verse 13. Now I am returning to you. I am speaking this prayer here in the created cosmos along friends and foes so that in hearing it, they might be consumed with joy. First of all, I just want to say that he wants us to be consumed with joy. That's amazing. Often we think as believers, as Christians, that we have to suffer, that we have to be in pain, and then that means we're doing some good work for the kingdom. And I don't discount all of that. I think that there's pain in this life. That's just a fact. And that there's heartbreak. But that God also wants us to live in joy. And I think that that's good news. If we go on to verse 21, it says, Father, may they all be one as you are in me and I am in you. May they be in us. For by this unity, the world will believe that you sent me. And so, one of the very last things he said, may they be unified. Because I think he knew that that would be a very big issue for us. We're so ego-driven. We're so prideful. I struggle with that so incredibly. I was reading this book recently. It's called Beyond the Masquerade. Amazing book. Anyways. And incredible, and not in a judgmental way, just really opened my eyes to how very pride-filled I am. And it was actually freeing because I could say to God, you know what? this is a really big struggle that I have, but I know that you are bigger and that you can walk me through this to become less and less full of myself and more full of you. So anyways, putting aside our pride and being unified and putting down our guard. In verse 22, it says, all the glory you have given to me, I pass on to them. May that glory unify them and make them one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be refined so that all will know that you sent me. And you love them in the same way you love me. It's just so good. God is so good. And that's it right there. He passes on his glory to us, to human beings. Seriously. We're not the shiniest bunch. We have our faults, but he passes it on to us so that we may be unified. He allows us to put our pride aside so that we can see others through his eyes, through his love, and be unified together. And I think that's incredible. And that he loves us the same way he loves Jesus. Wow. Every time I read it, I've read it up here before. Every time I read it, it blows me away. So my question was, how do we live in unity? What does that mean? What does that look like? Right? And God showed me a really great picture. I'm a picture person. If I could have something up there, I definitely would. Don't worry. I did not prepare you back there. But God uses so many stories and parables and pictures because he knew there'd be many of us out there that need that. So if you want to turn to Romans 12, I'm going to read this passage. It's about the body. And it's more than just this physical body. It's about God's body and the body as the church. So in Romans 12, verse 4, it says, for in the same way that one body has so many different parts, each with different functions, we too, the many, are different parts that form one body in the Anointed One. Each of us is joined with one another, and we become together what we could not be alone. Since our gifts vary depending on the grace poured out on each of us, it is important that we exercise the gifts we have been given. If prophecy is your gift, then speak as a prophet according to your proportion of faith. If service is your gift, then serve well. If teaching is your gift, then teach well. If you have been given a voice of encouragement, then use it often. If giving is your gift, then be generous. If leading, then be eager to get started. If sharing God's mercy, then be cheerful in sharing it. Love others well and don't hide behind a mask. Love authentically. Despise evil. Pursue what is good as if your life depends on it. Live in true devotion to one another, loving each other as sisters and brothers. Be first to honor others by putting them first. That's that whole pride thing. Do not slack in your faithfulness and hard work. Let your spirit be on fire, bubbling up and boiling over as you serve the Lord. Passion, that's a good thing. Do not forget to rejoice, for hope is always just around the corner. Hold up through the hard times that are coming and devote yourself to prayer. Share what you have with the saints so that they lack nothing. Take every opportunity to open your life and home to others. If people mistreat you or malign you, bless them. Always speak blessings, not curses. If some have cause to celebrate, join in the celebration. And if others are weeping, join in that as well. Work toward unity and live in harmony with one another. Avoid thinking you are better than others or wiser than the rest. Instead, embrace common people and ordinary tasks. that when I'm like, yeah, I hear you, God, you're speaking to me. it's good. I think many of us at some point in our lives have put on that judgment cap and thought, yep, I'm the judge today. Look at that person. Look what they do. My goodness, I can't believe they'd even... Wait a second. Haven't I done that? More recently, reading in the Bible, when I read about the Pharisees, I used to always be like, oh my gosh, those stupid Pharisees. Like, really, they don't get it. They're so arrogant. How can they be? Yeah, recently I'm like, isn't that me, Lord? Jeez, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But he is a good God, and he has patience. Love is patient. Yeah, he is patient. Okay, talking about the body. For in the same way that one body has different parts, each with different functions, we too are one body in the anointed. So I was thinking about this. I was thinking about all the people in the world. We're all one body, if we can remember that. Very perfectly said, Caleb, the way you said, we are not free if we don't believe it, if we don't know it. And a lot of the world out there does not know that they are one body, that they are loved beyond reason, that they were made by someone who loves them so incredibly, it is almost unfathomable. So I was thinking about the picture of a body. I'll just stand here. So first of all, I thought this was mind-blowing. How many cells do you think make up our body? Anybody, just shoot out a number. That's a very good guess. So he said a trillion. It's 37.2 trillion. So that's a whole bunch. It's not a million. It's not a billion. It's a 37.2 trillion. So when I think about that, and there's 8 billion people living in the world. I should know my facts better. But anyways, and then all the people that have ever lived, then I think 37.2 trillion cells make up one body. All of the people living in the world, we make up that one body. And so it's very easy, I think, at least for myself. Let's say I'm a fingernail and I do that fingernail part really well. But then I look over at, let's say I can see through and I can see the liver and I go, what is that? What is that doing? What are you even up to? I don't understand because I need to scrape things and I'm the fingernail, but the liver, I just don't get it. And when we see other people as totally separate, apart from the body, you see something outside, you go, yeah, that's weird, it's strange, I don't get it. But when you look at your own body and you see yourself and you see your hair and your fingers and your everything, then you want to take care of yourself, don't you? If your hand gets cut, you're going to put a Band-Aid on it. You're going to wash it off because it's a part of you. It's connected. It's not separate. It's a part of you. Am I making sense? Yeah. So when I was thinking about this, what a beautiful picture. We all are part of one body. And there might be some people out there that might disagree with me, and that's okay. We can talk later. That's totally cool. I'm open to talking. But if you're one body and part of you is connected, you're going to take care of it. And so instead of what we often do, I'm very guilty of this, look at somebody, you don't understand what they're doing or the struggle they're going through or the way that they present themselves, and you go, I don't get it. I'm just going to cut them off. But when we try and remember, and it is a journey day by day, when we try and remember we are all connected, then we take care of each other, don't we? Instead of seeing your hand and it has a cut on it, oh, it's useless now. I don't get it. It's in pain, so I'm just going to chop it off. Well, that's not very helpful. In fact, it's going to hurt the entire body, isn't it? But we are all connected. If one part is hurt, we need to tend to that. We need to embrace that. We need to wrap it in healing and love so that the whole body can function properly. We all have a part to play. And I know it's been talked about, but it's just been such a revelation for me recently. I hope you don't mind me sharing that if you are the elbow and you're the eyebrow and you're the heel part and you're the stomach and, you know, we're all different parts. We have different gifts and yet we're one body. So it's really incredible because we are so diverse. We are so different, yet it's God's body. We're all connected. And we all need those different pieces to function properly. And then there's the whole comparing thing. Well, I'm the fingernail. What if I don't want to be the fingernail? I really want to be the lips. They are out there. They're loud. I want to be the lips, but I'm the fingernail. But you got to play your part. And it's so important. What do you, think about this for a second, what do you have to bring to this beautiful kingdom of God? What do you have? Do you host people well in your home? Are you great at hosting? You can make a mean apple pie and you put some ice cream and you're great at it. You love it. It pours out of you. That's not me, by the way, but maybe it's you. Or maybe you encourage people well. I find that that's something that God has given me, that I look for it, and I try and find it, and I try and give that person something good to take away. It's natural. That's what God put in me. That's my fingernail. Maybe you are really good at working with electronics, and yet the way you deal with people just has this grace about you, that mercy that you want to give to other people. Whatever it is, there's something that we need as a body that you bring in a very special way. So when you find out what it is, if you need to ask God, do it. He'll share with you. Often we are blind to our own abilities. We can't even see what God has given us, and yet others see it very clearly. So if you don't know, you can also, ask people who care about you. That's good. So that's about the body. So when we think about unity, when I think about that, I think, okay, is that God asking me to have relationship with everyone that I meet? I thought about that because if every part is the body, I want to bless it, not curse it, and I want to have potential relationship or be in connection with them, but we can't. And that's okay. We are human. God is God. So can we have relationship with everyone around us? Do we have to get down to the bottom level and get eye to eye with every single person we meet? No, we can't. We actually can't. But God can through each of us. And so we each have our part with certain people. We each have a role to play with our environment, with the people that surround us. And so I was really thinking about that. Does that mean we have to, really connect with each and every person that is around us? No. And the ones that you do have connection with, that matters. And how do I know? Well, again, I've shared it before, but it's worth repeating. Luke 15, verse 3-7. So it says, wouldn't every single one of you, if you have 100 sheep and you lose one, leave the 99 in their grazing lands and go out searching for the lost sheep until you find it? When you find the lost sheep, wouldn't you hoist it up on your shoulders feeling wonderful? And when you go home, wouldn't you call together your friends and neighbors? Wouldn't you say, come over and celebrate with me because I've found my lost sheep? This is how it is in heaven. They're happier over one sinner who's changed his way of life than over 99 good and just people who don't need to change their ways of life. And so, even if we, with God's help, it's always only through him and his works, are able to reach one other person and share love with them and help heal them in any way, then it matters. It matters greatly to the kingdom of God. And so instead of getting overwhelmed, I'm sure when Ruthie shares about all the foster kids in Canada, that's a big number. When we think about children in slavery today, that's a huge number. It's overwhelming. But with God's help, the ones that we reach, the one, every single individual one matters. It always matters. So whether that's loving your children today, that matters. Whether it's meeting somebody on the street tomorrow and you feel that still small voice, just say, ask them how they're doing. That one interaction matters. You don't have to save the world. That's God's job in you, and he'll prompt you in the right time, in the right way, when we're listening. But the little interactions we have daily, those matter. It takes time to build relationship. Just think about any relationship that you have. The very first moment you met that person, it wasn't instantly perfect and great and you knew everything about each other. It takes time. Even with God, when we were born the very first day, he loved us incredibly. And he calls us sons and daughters, but as babies, we don't know that. It takes time to build that relationship. I'm hoping it takes right until the very last breath that I have. And then I'll find out more because I'll be with my heavenly creator. But what I'm saying is, take the time. Take the time to get to know certain people. Give your efforts there. And to that one person, it will matter incredibly. Does that make sense? All right. So when we think of other people, though, because, again, often, so easy. You look at somebody and you're like, yeah, don't quite understand what they're doing right now. That's just a little weird. But there are certain things that unify us at a base level. So I was thinking about this yesterday. What unifies all of humanity? Every part, from China to Egypt to South America to the Arctic, what unifies us all? And a few things came to mind. Our need to be loved. Every single human being on this planet has a need to be loved. We all do. I do. You do. The guy in Taiwan does. Everybody. Right? And another thing is our humanity. We are humans, after all. And I know that sounds so ridiculously obvious, but there's a little more to it here. So what do I mean by that? Well, we are not God. We are humans. And as incredible as life can be when we are connected to our Creator, we also have hard days because we're humans. We also have hard times. We also have moments of doubt. Doesn't disqualify us from God's love ever. Nothing does. But when we are able to be vulnerable, when we are able to share parts of our humanity, it can actually connect us with others in an incredible way. I was beyond inspired by all of you, and especially the ones who spoke. This was a couple Sundays ago. Man, that was so good. Peter was running things. I forget the name of that. And he just, it was an open time of sharing. And it blew my socks off. This is our family. That means we get to be human and come together and say, yeah, that sucked for you. I am so sorry. To weep together, but to rejoice together when another one calls their son, and it's legal on paper. We rejoice with that. When somebody says, I'm frustrated, I can't see this healing, that's okay. We come together because we see that we have had struggles in our lives. We're all human. We all have those moments. And when we are actually able to be vulnerable about it, and say, yep, I'm human. And the only good part about me most days is that guy and his incredible love for me. That connects us. Instead of saying, yep, I'm pretty darn perfect. I go to church every Sunday. I tithe. I clean my house. I love my kids. I do it all. I'm pretty darn good. People can't connect with that. We can't. What? Who's like that? I'm not, by the way. But with God's help, I'm something. I have value. I have worth. And that can never be taken away. So I just thought, our need to be loved and our humanity, it unifies us. Yeah, when we feel that connection with people, that we can't ignore each other, when we realize that hand, yep, that's connected to my body. Even though it might seem far away, we're all connected. And then when we feel that connection and realize we all need to be loved, that we all screw up sometimes and are in need of God's grace, just that can connect us. We don't have to understand on every level. When Brian came up and danced, by the way, I just really want to thank you. That was such a blessing. I could tell there was no part of your ego that needed to be displayed. It was this beautiful outpouring of worship, and I was very blessed by it. I want to thank you for saying yes to God. It's not always easy, but for some people, they see Brian up here dancing. They might think, well, I don't really understand that, so I'm just going to stay away from it. We don't have to understand it all to be connected, to be unified. Or this person gives this way, or this person homeschools, I don't. Well, I don't understand that, so I'm going to cut them off, and I don't get it, and I'm just going to keep that over there because that's weird or that's different. Or so what? So what? We're all trying to get through this life with this Creator. And when we have that connection, when we realize we're one body, then those little things, and they are little, don't really matter. We can see over top of it. We can say, yeah, they do that, but that's my brother. And I love my brother. Or that's my sister. We are connected at a very core, base, deep level. We are unified. Because when we know we're connected, when we know we're loved and unified, that is when the world sees God's love. I believe that. I know I read it already, but I'm just going to read it because it reiterates here. Father, may they be one as you are in me and I am in you. May they be in us. For by this unity, the world will believe that you sent me. So I was thinking about that. That sounds a whole lot simpler than I make believing Christianity out to be. It's simple. Be connected with my Creator, which I do my part. He comes running after me all the time. I turn to Him. I become connected with my Creator. I can connect with my fellow man. Whatever their way of life is, the way they worship, what they do for a living, I can remember at that base level, I have value and worth because God said so, because He loves me, because He died for me, as do you. And we all need to feel that love and that connection. Yeah, it's a lifelong journey. It is something that, like I said, I want to get closer and closer and closer with God every single day until my last breath. I want that relationship to just keep growing. And I know it will if I pursue it. I know it will because He pursues me. And the way we feel unified with each other, the way we remember that we are brothers and sisters, that's a lifelong journey. I suck at it daily. I just want you to know I'm not trying to put something on you that I think I've mastered or anything like that. This is a lifelong thing that when we get connected to that love source, that reminder that we are who we are, that we are loved. That song, the first song that you guys played, was just spot on. I was listening to it this morning and I was like, man, I really wish they'd play that. Maybe I should have called them earlier in the week and asked them to play it. No, God knew, because he's a good, good father. And it set the mood. It was so good. And we say, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. And that is who we are. And when we remember that at that base level, it's just a beautiful thing. So I'm going to end with this here. In Matthew 22, if you want to turn there, verses 36 to 40. Teachers of the law, this is the Pharisees talking, which means basically it's me talking. The Pharisees asked, teacher of all the laws, which commandment is the greatest? And Jesus says, love the eternal one, your God, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is nearly as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The rest of the law and all the teachings of the prophets are but variations on these themes. What I like to remember as well is that love the eternal one, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Often when I hear that, I feel overwhelmed. I'm just going to be honest. I feel, oh man, I'm a broken human being often, and I am not perfect in and of myself. How can I love God so well? How can I do that? I can't really. And then I remember that I can love because he first loved me, and that I can actually love him well with his help. That the Holy Spirit lives in this earth, lives in us, and helps us accomplish any of the Father's will. We don't have to do any of it alone. It's like God asking us, go open that door. It's locked, but I'll give you the key. And it's like, really? Is it that easy? Are you sure? And he's like, yeah, it is that easy. Just ask me. Call on me for my help. So I ask God, help me love you. Help me love you in the best way that I can. It's like if you're a father or a mother and a child comes running up to you and they drew their best picture and it's scribbles and it's not the greatest thing that you've ever seen, but they poured their heart and soul into it. Therefore, it has value. Do you know what I mean? And that is the same way that God sees all of our efforts in any way. He sees the scribbles. We're like, here, Daddy, it's just for you. He's like, that's all I want. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to hang this on my fridge. I can't even imagine he has a fridge, but you know what I mean. And so, yeah, when we love God and love each other, that unity, that's going to pour out of us. I'm just going to close with prayer. Lord, you are so good. You are a good, good Father. And you have given us the greatest helper, your Holy Spirit, to help us live each day on this planet Earth, until we are returned with you. And I just pray for a unity so beautiful, so great, that the world can't help but notice that something is different and that you are a part of it, and that it is a simple truth, that it is not always easy, but that it is simple and beautiful, and that through your Holy Spirit that we can be unified and see each other as brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters to the one true King. I thank you so much for helping us, for your incredible love. I pray a blessing upon my family here right now as they go out, as they are with their families, as they see people, that we may be unified and one in you as you are in us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.